Hey, it's Bethany here with Dialed In. I'm so happy that you're listening today. Before we hop into this episode, I wanted to let you know about a new resource for this new decade. It is the Action Takers Resource Guide. So I know from experience that it can be so hard to know where to start. When you're thinking about making a change in your life, you know it's going to be uncomfortable and you know that it's going to take some time and dedication. And sometimes there's just so much information out there that it's hard to narrow down and choose a focus. So I've done that for you. In this resource guide, there's a complete list of all different kinds of things and ways for you to start. So here's how I want you to use this. Go to my website, bethanyclem.com. Simply enter your name and email. You get an immediate download of this resource. You can print it out. You can have it on your computer, but it takes you through all different steps to get to know yourself better. There's a list of podcasts that you can get plugged into. There are a huge amount of books here that you can start reading to help change your life. And there's even tools that can help you stay organized, among other things. Now, just pick one area. Just simply pick one area that appeals to you that you think, you know what, I could work this in to my daily routine, or I could work this into my routine 2 or 3 days a week. Pick one, get started. I'd love to hear how it goes. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you like the resource. And I can't wait to see how this year is amazing for you. All right, we'll get to the episode. Until next time, take action, live big, and enjoy Dialed In. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dialed In. Today we're talking with Joshua Lee. He has been a guest on Dialed In before, but we're kind of diving into what he calls the buffer zone. And it's all about controlling your emotions. So Joshua, I'm going to let you kind of just give us an overview of what this looks like for you. Before we started recording, we were talking about how controlling how we feel and where our mindset is really an ongoing process. Like kind of, well, Josh said it was like tuning up a car. It doesn't always stay tuned up. So I'll let you go, Josh.
Okay. And I'll kind of rewind a little bit on my buffer zone explanation. So I use the mental picture of a castle to do my buffer zone. Sorry if you can hear my dog barking outside there.
It's fine.
But so in back when they used castles and they built castles, they would clear an area around the perimeter of the castle. So they build the castle, they have the walls, they have their defenses, but they'd also make this space where they could see anything or anyone approaching the castle. And so they had time to, the bigger that area, the more time they had to decide to notice that something was approaching, and then B, to decide what to do about it. You know, as a friend, as a foe, do we need to open the gates for them, or do we need to get everybody in their battle stations, kind of thing. And so what I've done is I've taken that metaphor and said the castle for me is my mindset and my emotional state. And I want to limit how much I react and instead increase how much I respond. And so the thing that I've learned is that the obstacles that I have to clear out of that is expectations. So I believe that all emotional responses stem from an expectation that is either met or unmet. And those, the tricky thing is that those expectations are more often than not unarticulated, mm-hmm. either to ourselves or to others or whatever. And if they're not articulated, then they're not agreed upon either. And so if you have expectations of someone else, then and you haven't, and you're not even aware of it, let alone have shared it with them, and they haven't agreed to live up to that expectation, then you mm-hmm. That's the recipe for somebody sneaking up to that castle wall, and you have to react and instead of responding. And so I've found that the easiest way for me to develop and cultivate the skill of responding versus reacting is to notice when I react. And the smaller I can notice, you know, the smaller reactions I can notice, the easier it is for me to be proactive in that process. And so oftentimes there's, you know, you have those moments where you react and you have an emotional response, and, you know, maybe it's a negative one, mm-hmm. argument with somebody, or, you know, shouting at the kids or something like that. It is really important to go back and reflect on that situation. Do a post-event debrief with yourself. But that's obviously not ideal. We don't want to be living in a state of reflecting on the stuff we didn't want to happen, so that we can try to prevent it later. We want to be more proactive. And so the place where I found being really proactive in that were things like being surprised by something. Those are really good opportunities for me to go, okay, that surprised me, and, you know, not a big surprise, but just a surprise, and that means I had an emotional response. Surprise is an emotional response. Mm-hmm. And I can reflect on that, and it's relatively inconsequential. The one that really pops into my mind is I was having a conversation with a woman, and you know, she's a petite lady that I'm talking to, and she talks about how she's a power lifter, and I was like, what? And it was one of those, okay, that definitely caught me off guard, which means I had some kind of expectation, you know,
sure.
that I wasn't expecting that either, you know. And so I got to take a minute and say, okay, was my expectation that she wasn't, that would, you know, that's not something that I would expect to hear from her because she's a girl, or because she's small, or because she, you know, whatever it may be. And it just allowed me to question what my expectations were, if I had any, you know, and were they of her specifically, or were they of things categorically? So if it was her specifically, you know, then it might be, okay, this is something that I can tweak my awareness off. But if it's categorical, those are great learning opportunities, because you can go, okay, I created this expectation about women, you know, or about mm-hmm. small people, or, you know, about this particular ethnicity, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Those were opportunities for me to start really intentionally reviewing my expectations. And I've gotten pretty good at this over time. So to kind of go back in time of why this dynamic became important to me is, there was something I was at a funeral when I was younger, really early 20s, new in my marriage and family building and all that, and the daughter of the guy was speaking, and she talked about how her dad never raised his voice. You know, he never yelled. He was always that calm, cool, collected guy, and she really respected that. And that resonated with me. That was one of those things that just like anchored in my soul. I want people to say that about me. I don't want to lose my cool. I don't want to yell at people. And that was something that I struggled with a lot. Like my temper was hot, not in the, you know, I'm gonna go start fights and punch, you know, I've punched a couple of walls in my day, but it was more about my volume and intensity. And I'm generally a pretty intense kind of guy too. So even in the playfulness space. And so one of the things that would frustrate me a lot was when I was being intense in a playful way, I would see my wife or my kids shrink a little bit. and because of what I've learned since then is because of their I is my dominant. And are you hearing me okay? Because I'm seeing an unstable connection notification.
You glitched for a minute. So you said because of their personality, or maybe you said because of your personality, but that's when I lost you for a second.
Right. Okay. So because of personality dynamics, I'm an I in the disc model, is my dominant, and several of my kids and my wife are in the S primaries, right? And so my ID side of things is, you know, loud and fast, right? And that's opposite of what they experience loud and fast as yelling, right? I'm not yelling, I'm just being, you know, my common thing was, I'm not yelling, I'm just being intense. And they're like, okay, intense has just become a new word, you know, a synonym for yelling. And I would get really frustrated, like, because they'd tell me not to yell. And I'm like, I'm not yelling. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, yelling has, there's a lot more intent behind the volume and the speed. And my intent was all purely, you know, loving and fun and nice and all that stuff, but they weren't hearing that and they weren't experiencing that, and it made me really frustrated. And if you've ever seen the that Adam Sandler movie Anger Management, where they're like, sir, you need to calm down, and like the worst thing you can do to somebody
right,
tell, you know, act like they're being angry when they're not, and then makes them angry. so when my kids or my wife would confront me on how I'm yelling or behaving in an angry way, it would just, like, it would shift my intensity to anger, because I'd get really frustrated because that didn't match my heart and it didn't match my intent, and it made me really frustrated because it triggered that expectation that I would have of myself. That was one of those deep down unarticulated expectations of, I wanted to be that guy who was eulogized as the guy that never raised his voice, that was calm and peaceful. I've since made peace with the fact that we're just a loud family. I'm a loud guy. I definitely raise my voice, but I most certainly have worked really, really hard not to do so in anger, and to also respect the communication styles of the people around me, so that I can moderate that in an intentional way and not come across as yelling, even, you know, accidentally. So so that was a really big rabbit trail away from the buffer zone thing, but it's the need for the buffer zone is that whole dynamic of for me to be very intentional about choosing how I respond and communicate with people. So I fell into a trap, though, is a that pendulum swing that we often do, where we're like, oh, I need to fix this behavior, so I'm going to go into the, you know, opposite end of the spectrum. And I found myself being, you know, almost like robotic in my response to people. Like, where there were times when I needed to respond and I didn't, because I let my buffer zone get too big. I'm already not a very empathetic person, and that pendulum swing made me, like, my empathy be like absolute zero. And so I'd find myself, this is my current state of what I'm working on in this buffer zone, is to find to find that balance where I can engage empathetically, which requires some degree of reaction, some degree of you know, that feedback loop needs to be a lot tighter in this buffer zone dynamic, and not this whole, like, oh, you know what, I've been pondering this interaction that I had for the last 2 weeks, and now I have a response for it.
Right.
And so people, because I notice people feeling unheard and not listened to, and I'm kind of distractible also. And so if I spend too much time in that buffer zone, I get distracted from something else. Mm-hmm. And these loops go unclosed with interactions with people. And I've had my wife and my oldest daughter, you know, I sometimes will stop and say, you know, what's something that bothers you about me that I could work on? You know, and it was like, you don't really pay attention. And that's like one of those gut punches, because I totally pay attention, but I was paying attention to how I was processing things, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, who's talking to me, what they're saying, how they're, like, where they're coming from, their heart, my empathy was nothing. Mm-hmm. So I've been, I'm a spiritual, you know, faith-based person, and I've been praying about, I need to grow my empathy. So maybe there's a happy medium between, you know, scorching the earth around my castle and making it flat and not being able to see anything. And, you know, maybe I need some rolling hills, you know, mm-hmm. there's opportunity for somebody to sneak up on me, but not nearly as much as there was. And so here's where my vacation can tie in, is I've been looking for opportunities to be empathetic, you know, like give me those opportunities. Well, I had lots of opportunities to have empathy on my vacation that we just got back from, you know, cruising in the Caribbean. It turned out to be very, very windy. Mm. And so even though we're on this like huge cruise ship, it was a very movie, you know, very mm-hmm. motion sensitive ride. So there was, one of my daughters was feeling really gross. My wife had this kind of like 8 to 10 hour window of time one evening where she was just like wanted to die. Aww. And was so uncomfortable, and she has some pretty strict limitations on what she can take. So she couldn't, you know, she can't go get the Dramamine from the medical, so she has to go with, you know, only like natural stuff. And so we had some natural motion sickness patches, and she's like, you know, covering herself in those as much as she can, and essential oils and things like that, and doing the best that she could. But she was miserable, and I'm a fix it kind of guy, and I couldn't fix it. And I was like, sometimes my reaction to not being able to fix things is to just walk away from it. I can't make you feel better right now, and I can't stand to sit here and watch you feel crappy, so I'm just gonna leave. that was my solution. And I had to go, you know, we have six kids, so we have eight of us in these two tiny little cabins on the ship. You know, even the ship is huge, the cabins are not large. Mm-hmm. Like I think they're 200 square feet a piece or something like that. And you have, when all the beds are expanded out, you have like 18 inches of walking space in any given mm-hmm. spot. So having everybody all closed up into these little spaces for that long gave me opportunities for some empathy as well. And so it was just one of those, I found myself having to just step away, and I needed to reflect. I was working the dad mode that day because my wife wasn't feeling well. So I'm like, you know, she's not only not feeling well physically, but she's not feeling well emotionally, because we've spent so much money on this cruise, and mm-hmm. things aren't going the way we expected, and all this. And this is before we got to the point where they canceled one of our ports of call because they couldn't dock because the wind was so bad.
Ow.
And so we're like, you know, processing this. I never in a million years would have paid this much money to go on a cruise that only had one stop. But that's exactly what we ended up doing. And so we had to do a lot of reframing as a family, which was a cool exercise to spend time on, but it was such a challenge, and here's me, first world problems, right? Having this challenge on my tropical vacation, but still, it was an eye-opening experience for me, because a lot of times, I've been chanting this Tony Robbins mantra of, life happens for you, not to you. Mm-hmm. And when you're in like real life circumstances, things that are unavoidable, that, required parts of life, that's one dynamic. But when you're in this like totally voluntary space of going on a vacation and, you're supposed to be having fun, mm-hmm. and then things go wrong, like it's really easy to feel, to get frustrated by that and feel guilty about being frustrated by that. It's that first world problem dynamic happens, mm-hmm. and you get really, I fought that a little bit in the moments, like, dang, this is really upsetting. And for me, the biggest thing was seeing, I want to provide for my family. And one of the things I want to provide for my family is, good experiences, fun. I want things to be smooth, mm-hmm. for them. And when I'm seeing stuff like this happen and they're not happy about it and they're suffering and I can't fix it, that's where I kind of beat myself up. And so I had to go into that, okay, how is this happening for us? And it was challenging to go into that space, because oftentimes the happening for you mentality is like, how did this difficult, challenging thing actually serve me? But I'm like, look at this, this difficult, challenging thing is, too much motion on my cruise ship in the Caribbean, and I'm like, I start feeling guilty about having any kind of negative emotions because I'm in the freaking right. In January, we ran away from the cold weather and it's like anything in this environment should be good, even if it's not the most ideal. It's still pretty stinking awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new dynamic to that mindset for me, and finding the how is this this the inconvenience of this scenario, the feelings of wasting resources actually happening for me. And it just became this a reiteration and a new facet to the don't get hooked on the outcomes. Focus on the journey. Right? There was, there's some literal occurrences here. Okay, one of the outcome, one of the destinations was Jamaica, and we didn't get to go there. And this was where, we were supposed to go and do the swimming with dolphins excursion in Jamaica, and we had to miss that. And, watching my, 9-year-old daughter crying because she had this expectation of doing something amazing, and we totally hyped it up because we were all so excited about it, and then it goes away all of a sudden out of no control of our own, when we're already in this like frustrated, uncomfortable thing because of the weather and the we had at any given time up on the decks, the wind was, the crosswinds on the decks was anywhere between 40 and 70 miles an hour. And
whoa.
Yeah. And so like I'm overhearing people talking about, this guy had his, 18 month old son in the stroller, and the stroller got blown over and his kid fell out of it, and my daughter's walking along the deck and her flip flops blew off her feet while she was walking. Like I was running around the track up on the deck, and I'm either like running like intensely against the wind, or it having shoving me at my back. And then when I'm turning the corners, it's blowing so that in mid step, it would blow my foot over and I would end up like tripping myself because it would go behind my other leg. It was just like weird dynamics like that. And so, you know, being up on the deck in the pool wasn't very fun because it was so windy and things, some of the activities that were available on the ship were closed because it was so windy. And so we just kept bumping into this, it was like this litany of expectations that are being unmet and unmet and unmet and unmet. And so there was a lot of buffer zone practice in that, but also empathy in the buffer zone practice for me. So that was the ultimate for me result was don't get hooked on the outcomes. The joy is in the journey. And practice empathy while also maintaining your buffer zone, which means you have to, it's kind of meeting halfway. It's like stepping out of the walls of the castle into the space. And you still have time to retreat back in if you need to, but you're meeting somebody out there and you're sharing that space with them.
Yeah.
And so that was my kind of my learning experience in that vacation. And then I had this mindset kind of setback too, where being part of the thing I've been able to build into my life to help me maintain this positive mindset, the castle walls, so to speak, is my routine, my morning routine. And being on vacation, being out of that routine, having the challenges of our experience, and you know, there was some great fun in the experience, but there was some, you know, there was those challenges. And I realized I had this expectation that everything was going to be happy, fun, and rainbows and unicorns the whole time because it's vacation.
Right.
I should know better by now, having six kids and having gone on vacation ever, that things don't always go as planned. But we had this fantasy. It was our first time going on a cruise. We had no idea what the complications might be. My wife's reference was, this is why I always go to Disney, because I know what to expect. and so this mindset kind of setback that I experienced, I'm just getting back into my current new norm. So I don't know, new norm is such a constant thing because things are ever changing, but I realize I have these mechanisms that I've built into my morning routine that are almost these like calibration anchor points that help me. One of these things is this kind of mantra that I say to myself is, I do hard things that suck, and I'm good at it. I'm good at doing hard things that suck, and that comes from some of the learning. It's like, you know, John Maxwell's saying, you know, everything worth doing is uphill. If you want to do the things that other people don't do, you know, if you want to have the things that other people don't have, you got to do the things that other people won't do. Mm-hmm. Right? Those are the kind of dynamics that I'm kind of like pounding into my head all the time. And my kind of keyhole access to those is, I do hard things that suck. And one of the habits that I've built into anchoring my physical state to that reality is cold shower. And cold showers suck when it's 20 degrees outside and your pipes are being influenced
really cold
by that 20
right
that 20 degrees. And you know, in the summer, when I started this in the summer, you know, it wasn't so bad. You know, I cranked the water all the way cold, and I don't do the whole shower cold, you know, like I know the dynamics of soap and residue and hot water help rinse things better, you know. So I utilize the physics of hot water to, you know, for my actual showering, and then the last like, you know, 90 seconds to 2 minutes, I crank it all the way cold, and I go all, you know, my whole body, like, and I'll get to the point where I'm standing there. I'm not like just like sticking my arm in the cold water or my toe. I go all the way over my head and sit there until I can control my breathing. that's my hard thing that I do that gets me.
Wow.
I can do hard things. Going to the gym is another one. You know, I had a battle. I woke up early this morning, like before I was supposed to get up. And just taking my oldest son to the gym with me this morning. So I had to wait until 7 o'clock to go. I usually go earlier. And so from about, 4:30 till 6:30, when I was actually going to get out of bed, I was waking up pretty regularly. And I didn't set an alarm. So I have this like mental thing going, I don't want to oversleep. And so I ended up, that caused me to like wake up every like 15, 20 minutes mm-hmm. and check the clock. And every time I did, I'm like, I don't want to go to the gym. It's so cold out. I don't want to get up. Fortunately, I had some outside expectations sitting on my head of, I got to take my son to the gym and I got to set a good example. I got to, all this stuff. And so I ultimately got myself to go back. And this is my first time back at the gym since getting back from vacation. I didn't go yesterday. I talked myself out of going yesterday, and I worked out at home, but not nearly as intensely as I mm-hmm. as I would if I went to the gym. And so this was and all that's mindset,
right? Funk.
That was residual from getting out of my routine and having this negativity just pounding at me this whole, a lot of the time that I was on vacation, of people's expectations and my expectations getting slammed over and over. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of learning opportunity for me in that experience.
In regards to the buffer zone and understanding your expectations and when you're reacting versus responding, how do you maintain your awareness of where you're at? Because isn't it so easy just to fall back on autopilot and not even notice that you're falling back on what you've always done or how you've always thought? How do you keep that at the forefront?
It's been a learning journey that it's mostly about trying to increase my awareness of the people I'm interacting with. There have been times I use their body language and words and feedback, as that part of that feedback loop. I also use my own physiology. If my heart rate's increasing, my intensity's going up, my volume is going, I'm less attuned to being aware of my volume than other things. And I have my tolerance for the higher volume is higher than other people's. And so mm-hmm. that's where I use other people's feedback, their body language and stuff as a gauge in that dynamic to kind of dial it back. If you've ever been on stage and had to like, I was in theater in high school and one of the way louder than we thought and way slower than we thought. And it was very unnatural. And so when I find myself that's kind of, that kind of dynamic is how I have to interact with other people, especially my very high S children. Cause I'm, just the parent to child dynamic of my little girls that are 9 and 12 mm-hmm. are I'm huge to them, and mm-hmm. just my size adds volume to my words mm-hmm. And so I have to speak in a, like, I feel like I'm speaking really, really softly and really, really slowly, and it feels very unnatural, but that's where I connect with them. Mm-hmm. And physically getting lower, or bringing them up to my levels, set up my lap, and they're getting on the old big side to do that anymore. I'm kind of sad about that. that I didn't take more opportunity to for that dynamic when they were younger. But such is life. You gotta you gotta learn, and the time is now. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, I get that. My youngest, Gavin, is 13, so he's tall, and he like crawled into my lap as I was sitting on a chair a few days ago, and he doesn't fit. Like, there's no way I can hold him, and it was rare that he ever does that anymore. But as he sat there, kind of half off the chair, leaning against me a little bit, I just kind of savored the moment, knowing that, you know, it used to happen all the time, and maybe I'd even be a little annoyed by it because they always wanted to be on me. And you know, now it's interesting. You know, I cherish that. But boy, there's so much that I can relate to in what you're talking about. So I am a ID, or sometimes I'm a DI, depending on when I take DISC. And I also have a fair amount of C. And my husband is a CD. And so we're both drivers, and we're both go, go, go. But like, our daughter is a high S, and she's a mix. She's like a SCI. And my son is an ISC. So neither of them are drivers, but yet they're both great leaders. But the approach is like completely different. And I don't think you have to know the DISC method. And if you're not sure what that is and you're listening, look that up. But it's a personality style assessment, but you don't have to know that in order to know or to be in tune when others are not responding well to you, or responding differently, or showing a level of disappointment or uncomfortableness. But all of these things are great. And I made some notes here. I mean, there's, again, Joshua, there's so many takeaways. But I did make a few notes here as we wrap up. But I wrote down noticing when others aren't like thinking like you are. I think that's huge, that awareness, just being really intentional about, like what you said, noticing body language, noticing if they're shrinking back, if they look uncomfortable, if maybe they're disengaging, not even looking at you when you're trying to have a conversation, noticing your expectations of something. You gave so many great examples of that on your trip, and even before that, just about with the small lady and the powerlifting. Like, it isn't that interesting? We sometimes have expectations and we don't even realize that we have them, unless we're intentional about taking a step back and noticing them. Love this one. Enjoying the journey. You know, the each day is a gift, and I know that sounds very cliche and hokey, but it is true. Like, if we spend our days being miserable because we're waiting for this amazing outcome or the end goal or the destination, then we're going to miss the whole point of being alive. And then often what I have found is when I reach that destination, it's different than what I thought it would be anyway. And if I've spent the whole time on the journey being miserable on my way there, and then it's not what I thought it would be, I live my whole life in disappointment.
Right.
Yeah, so not being hooked on the outcome. And then I think overall, a good like three words that would sum all of this up would be to be a noticer. Like, notice what's happening in you and around you. So anything,
awareness is the starting point. You can't influence or change or be intentional about anything that you're not aware of.
Right.
And that, you know, that's a little duh, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that we do and say and think on a daily basis that we're not aware of.
Right.
Like they there's a statistic that's like somewhere in super duper high, like 85-90% of the thoughts we have every day are the same thoughts we had yesterday, mm-hmm. and the same thoughts we had the day before that, mm-hmm. and they're totally autopilot thoughts, and if your thoughts are the things that drive your behavior, and your behavior is the thing that drives your results, then 85-90% of what you're getting is the same over and over, And if you're not happy with that, you got to start changing stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to start thinking new thoughts and then doing new things. And then, and it all starts with that awareness. And the cool thing is that it's all, everything's cyclical. So it doesn't matter where you jump on, the sequence ultimately ends up being the same, but mm-hmm. you know, not everybody has the same starting point. So for me, it was recognizing my emotional responses and then using that to work backwards into what the expectations were and then deciding, you know, there's a couple of questions you have to ask yourself about the expectations. One, is it appropriate? If it's appropriate, okay, cool. Then hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Do I need to share it with anybody else? Because if you have expectations for somebody else and you're not sharing that with them, you are disrespecting them and you're damaging the relationship mm-hmm. because you're expecting them to live up to something that they don't know about.
Right.
And then those are the two really important ones. Is it appropriate and do I need to share it? And then you begin to develop the skill of creating the expectations on purpose. And that's where the magic happens, that's where you really get to be intentional about that buffer zone. Because you can be in the you know, reactive responsive phase forever and just be like, oh yeah, I'm picking up on all these expectations I have, but if you don't do something with them or get proactive about creating them in the first place, mm-hmm. then you're still behind, you know, you're still getting dragged through life instead of pushing and making headway and driving, you know, creating a new path. So then you can go, okay, what are the outcomes I want? What are the expectations I need to set? Who do I need to communicate those expectations to? We need to get agreement on those expectations. We need to be on the same page. And
right.
and when you're, it's all of life, you pay a price somewhere. You can either pay the price up front or you can pay the price on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pay it up front, then you're in control a lot more of what that price is and when you pay it. If you're waiting till the end, and you're paying it on the back end, it's in the form of consequences and circumstances, and you have way less control over what price you're paying. But make no mistake, there's a price to pay to do anything in life, and the sooner you can appreciate the fact that is true, and then start deciding, I'm going to pay the price on the front end because I have way more control over it, then that's where you really settle into the life happens for you thing. Is like, here's a whole bunch of things. I'm happy to pay this price because I'm driving for this outcome, and I'm choosing to pay the price instead of, you know, getting dragged through the mud behind a truck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how a whole bunch of stuff, so much of this stuff just meshes together and overlaps. But that buffer zone cycle, that control your emotions cycle, it really, you gotta jump on that cycle, and wherever you can jump on it, whether it's reflecting on situations that didn't go the way you wanted to, noticing your emotional responses, creating expectation, you know, getting proactive and creating expectations, you can do any of those things as mm-hmm. the first thing to become more intentional in this. It's really just about creating cultivating your own awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start paying attention to things. That's another Tony Robbins thing, is don't miss what's right in front of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joshua. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here today. And I want to go back and listen. I think I'll have even more notes just from the things you said. Every time I talk with you, I just gain a different perspective. Like, none of this is necessarily new information for me, but yet I've gained another way to look at it. And I really appreciate that about you. And I know our listeners will appreciate that as well. So how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way they can stay connected to you, follow your journey?
You can find me on Facebook. Joshua Lee on Facebook. I have Leading Tomorrow on Instagram. I haven't done a whole lot of Instagram stuff in quite a while, so I'm looking to get back into that space. I have the Optimum You podcast, which I'm kicking back into gear for a second season. Put out the first season, the first episode of this season, right before I went on vacation, and then now I have a little break, and so I gotta get back into that group again too. But I should be doing a new episode every week for that.
Okay.
And Facebook group. I have the Optimum U Facebook group. Optimum University is what it's called. And that's okay. The university spelled Y-O-U. University.
All right. So if you're driving and you can't take note of this or write it down right now, then don't worry, it'll be in the description of the podcast, all these connection points. This is good. Your podcast, Joshua, where is it at? Where is it, on multiple platforms?
On all the platforms for, okay. You know, I publish it through Anchor and they connect into all the major podcast platforms.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Dialed In. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.